Today on The Journey.
Humility has nothing to do with the personality trait. You could be quiet and reserved and not be humble. You can be loud and outspoken and not be proud.
What is humility, really? Must we think little of ourselves, or is it something deeper, something shared with the Lord of creation? Today, Ron Moore offers a definition and explanation that will draw you closer to Christ and help you practice His humility. Before that, we want you to know about Ron's study notes on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the best parenting book ever written, and this interactive study booklet will guide you through its key verses, helping you raise responsible, godly children. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Living Humbly on The Journey.
We all struggle with pride. It's insidious. Pride's not only a struggle, it's a sin. Proverbs 21:4 says, haughty eyes and a proud heart are the lamp. That word lamp means life. The life of the wicked are sin. And like all sin, it carries devastating consequences. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Today, as we continue our study of Proverbs, we want to see what the Proverbs have to say about this issue of humility and pride. And again, the Proverbs are going to contrast humility and pride, compare humility and pride, and then explain this issue that we deal with. The primary author of the Proverbs is a man named Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. And during his time, there was a lot of wisdom literature, but there was a distinctive factor with the wisdom literature of Israel, Solomon's wisdom literature. In chapter 1, verse 7, Solomon made it clear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, another word for wisdom. Solomon made it clear that true wisdom is theistic. It begins with God, the fear of the Lord. And it doesn't mean a cowering fear, a running from God in fear, a dreaded fear. It means a familial fear, a respect and a love that we have for our mother and our dad. We want to please them. We know they love us. They care for us. They nurture us. And we want to respect them, to honor them, to be in awe of them. And that's what fear of God means. Wisdom, we said, means embracing God's word and learning the skills of living biblical truth in everyday life. Taking God's word, learning the skills of it. Remember, wisdom is the word chokmah. It means a skilled person, a person who has specific skills, a builder or an artist or an embroiderer back in Exodus. And it came to mean a person who has the skills of life, the moral skills, to put them into practice. And the primary writer, Solomon, uses the word Yahweh for God. Yahweh, when you read it in your Bible, Lord, it's going to be in all caps. And Yahweh means the God of covenant, the God who loves me so much. He wants a relationship with me. And the beautiful picture of this is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when the Lord God breathed into man the breath of life. We'll talk about that passage in just a second. The Proverbs show two types of people. One person is the wicked, and the other person is righteous. The wicked man rejects God, wants nothing to do with God, and he's considered in Proverbs a fool. The righteous man fears God, and he's considered in Proverbs wise. Now, the Proverbs addresses the righteous man. That's Solomon's aim. Remember, he's using his instruction to teach parents to teach their children. teach mentors to teach their students. And he's addressing the person who knows God. In the New Testament, we call this a believer, a Christian. And there are two parts to being righteous. The first part is positional. So when we trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God, many passages tell us this, but 2 Corinthians 5:21 says we are made righteous. We don't make ourselves righteous. God makes us righteous. And that positional righteousness means that we have a right standing before God. But righteousness also has the idea of practice. So now we have this position before God, but how do we put it into practice? And so the Proverbs teach us how to put this position into practice. So let's start with some definitions. First of all, humility is living in submission to God. Humility has nothing to do with the personality trait. You could be quiet and reserved and not be humble. You can be loud and outspoken and not be proud. You're obnoxious, but you're not proud. So it has nothing to do with the characteristic. It's from the heart. It's living a life in submission to God. And we see this characteristic of humility in God himself. First of all, that passage I mentioned earlier, Genesis 2:7. So God, Elohim, creates the heavens and the earth. He says, let there be light, and there's light. That's God. That's Elohim. That's the all-powerful God. In Genesis 2, we start seeing that God created man. And so now we have the word Yahweh Elohim, that God of relationship. And Genesis 2:7 says he created man. So he forms man out of the dust. And then he breathes into man the breath of life. Just picture that in your mind. What would that look like? I always think of this man laying there. He's lifeless. And the eternal God, the one who just said, let there be light, and there was light, gets down on his knees. Kind of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He breathes into man the breath of life. That's humility. And we see that in God himself. We see it in Jesus, don't we? Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, who being equal with God, being God himself, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Ephesians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. If we lost our Bibles and only had that verse for the rest of our lives, it'd keep us busy, wouldn't it? Do nothing out of vain conceit or selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. While Jesus was on earth, although he was God, he lived in human body. He got tired. He slept. He went through all the human stuff. He didn't say, I'm God, I don't have to do that. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. See, that's humility. And Paul says, have that same mind of Jesus in yourself. Humility is submission to God. Pride is living independently of God. I'll be my own God. I'll do my own thing. I'll do it my way. I don't really care what God says. This is what I want to do, and this is how I'll do it. Now, the unbeliever, that's how they live. They reject God. They're just living on their own. The believer, although they have the position, can fall into this independency, right? Therein lies the struggle. While humility is a characteristic of God, pride is a characteristic of Satan. Remember, Satan was a created being, the most beautiful of angels, powerful. And there was a time In eternity past, we don't know how it worked, but there was a time when Satan wanted to be like God, and he was thrown from heaven and all the angels that followed him. Most commentators think the description of that is found in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Let me read it. How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, another name for Satan, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like God. And then Satan used that same craving to meet Adam and Eve in the garden and tell them, it really doesn't matter what God said about that fruit. Here's why he doesn't want you to eat it. Because when you eat it, you're going to be like him. And pride has infected our nature ever since. And that's the battle, isn't it? We're righteous, right standing before God. And our practice, we struggle with this fine line between humility and pride. There are many Hebrew and Greek words that describe pride in the Old Testament and the New. You have the word for haughty, haughty eyes, where your eyes are lifted up so you look down on people, arrogance, insolence, all these words. But the word I love that helps me think about pride the most is the Hebrew word zid. And it describes a pot of boiling water. And the water is boiling so much that it's escaping the pot, signifying that the water has overstepped the boundaries. And that's what pride does. It oversteps our God-given boundaries, and it moves us into an area of independence from God. Okay, let's go through the Proverbs. There are many places where it hits humility and pride. First of all, a relationship with God begins with humility. It is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. It is the proud person who says, there is no God. It's the wicked person in Proverbs who says, I don't need God. Humility is where a relationship with God starts. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says this, who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from sin? The writer's using this as a rhetorical statement, and the answer is, no one can say that. Paul addresses this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 23, he says, these people have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the heart. Just think about the insidious nature of pride. You can be on your knees and be the most proud person in the room. A relationship with God begins with humility. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's a free gift of God. It's not a result of works. So no one can be proud of it. Relationship with God begins with humility. Number two, pride produces chaos. Humility brings peace. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8, be not wise in your own eyes. Again, that's a description of pride. Fear the Lord, live in awe and respect and honor of the Lord, turn away from evil. And if you do that, it's going to be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. As a believer, when you live independently of God, there is this thing that comes on you called conviction, guilt. David talks about this in the Psalms. David says, your hand was heavy up on me. David says, it was like my bones were wasting away. When you're a believer living independently of God, God loves you too much to let you live there. So he convicts us so that we'll come back. And I've seen people go into the hospital with close to nervous breakdown because of the conviction in their life. They're living in sin. Man, for a believer, sin is a bad place to live. It brings chaos in our life. When we live independently from God, we think we can fix everything. We think we can call the shots. And we know life doesn't work like that. I talk to people and they're the self-made man. They pull themselves up by the bootstraps and they're successful. And then they come and say, you know what? Then my wife got sick. And for the first time, I realized I couldn't fix it. And that's when we have to submit ourselves to God and say, okay, God, you're God, I'm not. That's humility. When we live in humility, submission to God, Proverbs says it brings healing to our flesh. It's refreshing to our bones. Isn't it great to know that God's in charge and we're not? That you don't have to fix it, that you can't fix it? God's in charge. Humility brings healing to our body. Number three, healing is the heart cure for racism and prejudice. Proverbs 21:24. Scoffer, or your translation may say mocker. This is someone who looks down on everybody else. Mocker or scoffer is the name of the arrogant, the haughty, the man who acts with arrogant pride. Looks down on other people. And when that prejudice and racism, not all that's in our hearts, it comes out in our actions. This can be dealing with people who are different than we are. People who have different skin color than we do. But there's another area here that's subtle. We can be a mocker or a scoffer to other Christians when we judge them. When they're not far along as we are. When they fall. How could they do that? I would never do that. Be careful when you think you stand, when you're proud of you're standing, be careful lest you fall. Number four, humility is the remedy for self-promotion. Look at Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. So, don't just presume your standing. The writer here says it's better for you to lay in the back and have the noble say, hey, you in the back, come on up front, than for you in self-promotion and pride, stand up front and him say, what are you doing here? Get to the back. Be careful with self-promotion. Look at chapter 25, verse 14. Like clouds and wind without rain. So it's cloudy and you think, man, it's going to rain today. Then the winds kick up and you think it's really going to rain today. But it never does. Like clouds and wind without rain is the man who boasts of a gift he does not have. For all of us, particularly businessmen and women, boy, this is a great passage, isn't it? Don't make promises you can't keep. 25 verse 17. It is not good to eat much honey. I would just insert the word chocolate for me. It's not good to eat much chocolate. Nor is it glorious to seek one's glory. Just as eating too much chocolate makes you a little nauseated, so seeking your glory is nauseating to God. Number five, pride plays God. Humility trusts God. Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day is going to bring. So don't make promises about yourself or about what you can do that's not in your pay grade. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't plan. Proverbs all about planning. But we plan with humility if God allows it to happen. God, help me make this plan knowing that I don't know what tomorrow's going to be. I need your help in that. I cannot plan independently. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that known verse tells us that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he's the one who will direct your paths. All right, last observation. Both humility and pride carry results. Jot down Proverbs 11:2. Jot down Proverbs 16:5. Proverbs 3:34, Proverbs 15:25, and there you will see that with pride comes disgrace. that with pride comes destruction. On the other hand, humility in those passages brings strength. Humility brings honor. Humility brings blessing. So what do you do if you're struggling with pride? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 32 says this, "If you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put your hand to your mouth." Stop it. Stop doing it. Pretty clear, isn't it? Now, the question is, how? Three things. First, if you're going to develop a heart of humility, you got to be in Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It's all God's word to us. It's profitable for teaching us. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction, instruction in righteousness. When we're in God's word and we're going through a time of pride, God's going to say, hey, can't do that. Jot this down. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Before you read God's word, just use this as the framework for your heart. God, I'm getting ready to read your word. Here's what I need you to do. Search me and know or make known my heart. Try me and make known my thoughts. And God, show me where I'm messing up. See if there is any grievous way in me, and then lead me in the everlasting way. Secondly, serve others. Every believer has a gift and should use it to serve others. But if you're not serving others, you are serving yourself. And you're going to live a miserable life. Someone said a package wrapped up in itself is a very small package. And if you're all wrapped up in yourself, you're not serving others, you're going to live a shriveled up, miserable life. So use your gift. Find out what your spiritual gift is and use it to serve others. Get beyond yourself. If you're going through a difficult time and really struggling, the best thing you can do is to serve others. It'll get your mind off yourself. Last one, get out of your comfort zone. I struggle with pride when I get caught in my comfort zone. Because you know what? I can kind of handle that on my own. I know I need God because His word says I do, and I talk about it all the time, but I can kind of do this on my own. That's a bad place to be in. So get in places that stretch you. It's an insidious thing, this humility and pride thing, isn't it? We're going to struggle with it till the day we die. So how are we going to battle it? How are we going to deal with it? In God's word, serving others, and keep stretching yourself.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a preview of our next broadcast right after this. Parenting in the modern world is challenging and sometimes exhausting, but there's real help to be found in an ancient book. The Proverbs contain wisdom deeply rooted in an understanding of God and people. But the book is not theoretical. It's a practical instruction manual for parenting in the real world. To help apply its wisdom to your life and family, Ron has prepared an easy and interactive study guide. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. In it, you'll discover what it means to fear God, the blessings of humility, the importance of friendship, and how to live with purity in a sex-crazed world. The Proverbs Study Guide is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
All the stuff in the world cannot satisfy the soul. And my point of the sermon is, even as believers, there's still a part of us that thinks it can.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's interactive study guide on the book of Proverbs. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. This booklet is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.